Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 18th of October, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe, serving Gila County, and then KAPR AM 930 in Douglas, serving southeastern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard 24/7 at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today's lineup includes a leadoff interview with Jeff Rogers. Mr. Rogers is the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. At 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman will be joining me in studio for his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. At 30 minutes past the hour, we get a preview of this weekend's big doings at Saguaro National Park. Saguaro Blitz gets underway. We'll find out what that blitz is all about. Then we'll close out the show with Tucson Weekly's arts editor and the Buckmaster Show contributor, our latest contributor, in fact, to the Buckmaster Show. She'll be contributing on the arts, Margaret Regan. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a particular story idea or an individual guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. We're very excited here on KVOI and the Buckmaster Show that this Friday, from noon to 1, we will be the exclusive home for the only radio debate featuring the three Tucson mayoral candidates. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Jeff Rogers. He is the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Mr. Rogers, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
You know, we are excited about that, having the three candidates on radio. And it's one thing to have them on TV, but when you have them on radio, the Buckmaster Show live line will be open as well. So it will be really kind of the only broadcast interactive debate.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm glad to hear that they're going to be on the show. And it should be a very enlightening hour that you're going to have with them.
How do you feel going into this election with the ballots going out very soon, right?
I'm extremely optimistic. Our candidates have been exceedingly well-funded. They've been well-funded early on. The money came in very quickly, and so they were able to get their matching funds quickly, except for Jonathan, who's running as a traditional campaign. It was raised over $300,000. We have been able to do all of the things that we wanted to do in this campaign to highlight the differences between us and the Republican candidates, and we have done something that we don't always have the money to do, but the Democratic Party has, with the help of some of the candidates, has funded the a very significant poll. We had a baseline poll that was in the field in July and August, and we used Global Strategy Group, which is a firm out of Connecticut, Washington, D.C., and New York City, one of the finest polling operations in all of America. And we would have liked to have done something local or in the state of Arizona, but there's nobody that good or that can do this kind of quality polling. And right now we show that Jonathan is ahead by 17 points head-to-head with Grinnell, with 49% of the vote, 32% to Grinnell, and 4% to DeCamp. And that pretty much matches the margin we saw for our baseline poll in August, where there were more undecideds, but still we had a 17-point edge. Now, so I think that this poll was in the tracking poll was in the field last week. We're in really good shape there. August and July, the baseline poll showed our council candidates ahead by 20 points or more. We're going to have the results within the next 24 hours of the tracking poll, which I expect, given the trends we've seen, are going to show our council candidates ahead by 25 points or more.
So would you, based on at least some of this polling information, you're confident predicting a clean sweep for Democratic candidates?
Yes, I think we're in really, really good shape as it stacks up. And we have to kind of give credit where credit is due. When you run as poor quality candidates as the Republicans have come up with in this election cycle, and when they have stumbled over so many things, like, for instance, we found out today that Rick Grinnell's application for matching funds from the city was denied because he had substantially less than the 300 number of $10 donors that live inside the city limits. He listed, for instance, Bruce Ash and Jim Click as city residents, when of course they're not city residents, and there were some 40-odd other people he did the same thing with, and there were maybe two dozen people that he listed twice as giving $10, and that's not according to the law and the code. So he stumbled once again, as the myriad of stumbles that we've seen coming from the Republicans since the beginning of the primaries.
If you disagree with Jeff Rogers, and perhaps you feel that the Republicans will show much better than the polling has indicated, Mr. Rogers and myself would love to hear from you on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040. Jeff Rogers will answer anything that you want to ask him, any question. Getting back to the election, if you had to put an issue on this, why do you think the Democrats are polling so well?
Well, I think it's just a general level of competence. I mean, you can see from the debate that was last night held by the League of Women Voters that the Republican candidates are just not ready for prime time. I mean, these are people that I just would be horrified and scared to see in positions of the mayor or city council members. I spoke with some people, Republicans, that I like and talk to occasionally last night, and we were all commiserating at the lack of quality they've got and how they need to increase their recruitment game to get higher quality candidates if they expect to win in Tucson. And the other problem is that some of these candidates have rather extreme positions that are sort of reflecting the sort of Tea Party mentality, and that doesn't sell in Tucson. Tucson is a moderate city, and that's why Democrats have had better luck. We've run more moderate candidates, and I think the lesson for the Republicans in this election is get out and recruit some people that aren't on the fringes, that are a little bit more central and like Steve Kozacek. I mean, you look back, and I can't think of another candidate they've fielded in the last 10 years of the quality of Steve. And so if they can find candidates of that caliber, they're going to have a lot better luck.
We will be featuring the candidates in the Tyler Vogt Shirley Scott race. We'll have Mr. Vogt tomorrow in studio with me at 12:30, and then Shirley Scott 12:30 on Thursday. In that race, our Republican friends, Bruce Ash, has said that he thinks that would be a very, very close race. But your polling, just some preliminary numbers, indicate that might not be the case.
No, right now our polling numbers, which we have a great deal of confidence in, are showing that it's going to be a pretty much a blowout as it stands right now.
On redistricting, Democrats and Republicans have been not at all that pleased with the Arizona redistricting plan. What is the big complaint from the Democratic side?
Well, I think it's lack of competitive districts. In some cases, we agree with the Republicans on some of the districts are drawn without the communities of interest that they needed to look at very carefully. Like, for instance, Sowrita and Green Valley are often referred to in the same syllable, practically. I mean, they're just one kind of place that belongs together, and they separated those. I know that Democrats and Republicans have been a little aggravated about that.
Why did they do that? That seems just absolutely crazy. We had Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita's son was with me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Come on, talk about an area of influence. You think of Saharita, you think of Green Valley. It's almost like it's one community.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, and I was scratching my head the moment I saw that and thought, well, what happened there? And yet you've got part of that district going along all the way down to the border and then hugging the border all the way over to Bisbee and Douglas. So, you know, some of these districts are drawn just escapes logic how they got drawn the way they got, and things like contiguousness and county lines and these kinds of things, you know, weren't obviously closely respected. But our main complaint is the lack of competitive districts. You boil this down to maybe four, maybe five competitive districts, and that's what that's the problem we have now, which reflects why we have the legislature we have right now. So we're looking at something like in the legislature, 17 to 19 Republican districts, and very few competitive districts, and then almost all of the Democratic districts are the minority majority districts that are voting rights at districts.
I'd like to get your take, Jeff Rogers, on this Arizona initiative, which would put all candidates in one primary. Former State Representative Ted Downing was on the Buckmaster Show a couple of weeks ago. Mr. Downing, from what I understand, was the architect of the language for this. Paul Johnson, the former Phoenix mayor, is kind of the front man on this effort. But what's your take on it?
Well, I think Downing was a Johnny come lately on this, although he ran on it last time. The people who were pushing this were pushing this long before Ted got involved in it. I'm troubled by it. At first blush, I thought, well, this could give us a less extreme legislature. Everybody will have to become more moderate. You won't be taking an all Democratic district and the most liberal person wins, nor will the most conservative win in a conservative district that's Republican oriented. And so at first blush it looked kind of attractive, but then you have to think about, look how clean elections looked when we did that. I'm a great believer in two laws, the law of gravity and the law of unintended consequences. And I'm very concerned that there are things there that could turn out that we don't see. And so I think the way to go with this is leave it alone for a short time and let's study what happens in this election cycle and maybe one more in California and Washington.
See how it plays out in those states.
Yes, they've adopted it. Let's see what happens there. Let's see how it works out, and then let's maybe take a closer look at it. I can't say I'm against it, but let me tell you, when you go to so-called nonpartisan elections like this, it has shown throughout the United States, most of who's done this have been municipalities, and voter turnout has plummeted universally across the nation when you go to these so-called nonpartisan elections. So if we look at Arizona right now, you have nonpartisan city elections in every city except one. Guess which city has partisan elections, and guess which city has the largest turnout by far, and that's the city of Tucson. We have to understand that voters, when they go into that voting booth or when they're looking at voting and whether or not to vote, they attach some kind of meaning to Democrats and Republicans. When you think Democrats, you think workers. When you think Republicans, you think corporations.
It's a starting point, anyway.
Yeah, it gives you some idea of what these candidates might be about. It doesn't tell the whole story, but it's a starting point.
Jeff Rogers, the chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Rogers, have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, 1217 on AM 1030 KVOI. The voice, Shelley Fishman, is next. Lots to talk about.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, SierraSunControl.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we hear so many good things in the community about my guest, Shelley Fishman, who is with us with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, good to see you.
Hey, Bill.
I'm excited about this new issue of Money Magazine. I shared it with you a little bit before we went on the air. They did a new survey. They joined up with Time Magazine, Time and Money together, and it shows that 67% of Americans are worried their quality of life will suffer in retirement. And this is just over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. since the bottom kind of fell out with the market in 2008. I guess you're not surprised.
I'm not surprised. In fact, I'm heartened, if you will, by hearing that number, because for years, baby boomers thinking about retirement thought magically it was going to be okay. And now at least we have people thinking, well, gosh, maybe it's not going to be okay. You would think then the next logical step would be, maybe I better do something about that. And that's the piece that makes me feel that awareness might lead to some behavioral changes, behavioral modifications on the part of people who might think they might someday retire. And you know what? That's everybody.
Mm-hmm. Can you give some advice about these folks who are worried? What can they do to mitigate the problem?
Well, they have to think it through. They have to do the numbers, and they have to start saving in ways that are appropriate for retirement savings. And that's, of course, going to be part of any plan that builds toward their retirement. It's not going to take care of itself, Bill. I mean, that's the one thing I know for absolutely certain, is that for most people in this country, retirement will not take care of itself. You have to manage it, and you have to manage your way there. If you're in your 20s, if you're just starting out on a career, just starting out in your work life, think about saving 10% of your gross. Take it out, have it taken out in a 401k or 403b, or if that's not offered by your employer, in your own Roth IRA, and be religious about it. I mean, go to church and then save your 10% and do both at the same time. It's that important. Never have that money in your hands so it never feels like you're taking it away from yourself. And if you do that and find a way to invest that money that is appropriate for your risk tolerance and time horizons, then you're going to be fine during retirement, regardless of what happens to Social Security, regardless of whether your career takes off like a rocket or, like most people, is kind of a middle-of-the-road career. As you get older, as your needs for retirement become more specific, then you make adjustments. But 10% is the number to keep in mind. It's an easy number. It's easier to remember than 999.
10% is what you really need to set aside.
Yeah, that's what you need to set aside. And you know, when you're just starting out and maybe you're raising a family, it seems like such a grossly large amount. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'll bet you, if you bring me your budget, I could find 10%.
How about those that are close to retirement and they really have not been diligent about thinking about these issues, these important issues?
Well, it's never too late to start. The thing that immediately pops to mind, of course, is that if you are unemployed and thinking about retiring and you haven't done the numbers, if you are employed, rather, and thinking about retiring and if you haven't done the numbers, you've got to do the numbers. Lots of ways to do them. You can hire somebody like me or sit down with somebody like me. There's several online programs that will help you work through those numbers. The one thing you should never do is make irrevocable decisions about your retirement before you've worked the numbers. And I see people like this, Bill. I see all the time, I retired 3 months ago, or I retired a year ago, and now I'm faced with 30 years of poverty.
Yeah.
And can you help me?
Yeah.
And you know what? Am I supposed to wave a magic wand? You can't do that. You have to work those numbers early. The first thing that comes to mind, of course, is you may have to work longer than you want to work. The second thing is you may have to cut back on your lifestyle. But clearly, if you're in your 50s and you can begin to save as much as possible, begin to cut back on your lifestyle expenses today so that you'll have those dollars into your retirement. You need to be able to estimate what your Social Security is going to be. You need to estimate what any retirement plans or other specific plans that you have. And then think about taking the difference. In other words, let's say your Social Security is going to be $15,000 and you're going to have another $5,000 coming in from an employer that you work for, and you need, let's say, $50,000 a year. So that's a $30,000 gap. You know, divide that by 5%, not multiply it. Divide it by 5%. That will tell you the amount of money you need to have saved up on the day you retire in order to get that $50,000 annual income. Okay, so that'll tell you, and it's a big number. I mean,
that's a big number.
And you say, well, I'll never get there. Well, but you can deal with the gap. You can deal with knowing you won't get there, and knowing by how much you won't get there, and you know, find other ways of solving that problem. Again, working longer, perhaps not fully retiring, being, you know, quasi-retired. Mm-hmm. But awareness, coming back to square one here, awareness that you've got a problem is the first step toward fixing it.
And you have to determine, too, when you want to take Social Security. Perhaps mm-hmm. there's a health issue, you may want to take it earlier.
Well, if there's a health issue and you can't work, then it's available to you at 62, and disability is available earlier than that. Very difficult to qualify for DSI, for disability insurance, through Social Security. But if you can, fine. People should be very careful about the decisions they make about taking early Social Security. You need to know that's going to cost you about 25% of your benefit, and it's going to cost you that for the rest of your life. So be really careful about that. There are also some tax consequences if you're working and making more than about $13,000 a year and taking early Social Security. Once you reach your full Social Security age,
which is
66, 67, yeah, depending upon when you were born, mm-hmm. Then you can work you can take your Social Security, and there are no penalties for working at the same time. Now, that's not to say you won't have to pay taxes on the money, but there are no penalties for taking your Social Security and working. You make as much as you want.
Shelley, you've only got a few seconds left, and I want to give out your information so people can find you. How do they find you?
It's,
I guess they could come to the radio station some Tuesday.
One way to find me is that way, but 795-7950. Just give me a call. I'm very good at returning calls. I have some feedback that sometimes calls go into voicemail and don't get answered. So call again. If I don't get back to you in 24 hours, call again. 795-7950.
Have a great week, Shelley.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Seven of the Republican presidential candidates are preparing for a debate tonight in Las Vegas. There will likely be some tough questions for Herman Cain, who's been surging in the polls, facing increased scrutiny from the other GOP hopefuls. The trip is billed as a push for the jobs bill, or parts of it, but President Obama's also working to sell himself to voters in North Carolina, where he's on the second day of a three-day bus trip. It'll cost another penny to mail a letter next year. The Postal Service says it will increase postage rates effective January 22nd. Updating the Wall Street numbers, stocks are solidly higher. The Dow's up about 181 points, the NASDAQ trading 41 points higher, and the S&P is better by 24. More details at srnnews.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
There are times when you save. And there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge!
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Our home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI. We are the voice and we are the strongest news talk station in terms of signal. And with our partners in Douglas and in Globe, we are basically in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties with the Buckmaster Show. So I think it's safe to say we have Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other. Big weekend coming up at Saguaro National Park. National Geographic is coming this weekend to Tucson for something called the 2011 Bio Blitz, and it is hosted by Saguaro National Park in hopes of getting the public engaged in their public lands. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Natalie Luna. Natalie is a spokesperson for Saguaro National Park, and we're also joined by Andy Fisher, a ranger at Saguaro. Natalie and Andy, good to have you with us.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I know you have been working, Andy, a long time on this BioBlitz. When did you first get word that this was going to happen, and why is it so important for Tucson?
We were approached about 18 months ago by National Geographic. They select one park each year to host this national BioBlitz event. So they came to us 18 months ago and gave us a description of what we were in for, and we immediately said, yes, we would love to participate.
What are the nuts and bolts of this particular effort, Natalie?
Well, the nuts and bolts are, well, it's two things. One, as you said in the beginning, to get the public re-engaged in their public lands. So we're doing a 24-hour species count on both sides of our park, starting noon this Friday the 21st and ending noon Saturday the 22nd. And we're going to have scores, thousands, literally thousands of area school kids and general public to come out and count species with scientists and experts from the U of A and across the country.
When Andy, when we talk about counting species, you would think we already know how many species are in the park.
You would be surprised.
Are we going to be surprised, perhaps, after this count?
We really hope so. There are some certain taxonomic groups, some species groups that we really don't know much about. Entomology is a huge focus for us, as well as some of the smaller non-vascular plants. We just haven't had the specialists in the park to learn about them. The BioBlitz event is actually bringing in some of those specialists, not just from Tucson, but from all across the region and across the country, who are experts in this. We've just not had that specialty available.
What will they be looking at? Plant and animal species?
Everything.
Give us some examples.
Yeah, everything counts. If it's living, it counts in the BioBlitz. Everything from mammals to birds to bryophytes to little critters called tardigrades. We're expecting to find some of them, which would actually be a new species for the park entirely if we do find some tardigrades. Everything that's alive is on the table for BioBlitz.
Andy Fisher is with us, a ranger at Saguaro National Park, and Natalie Luna, who is a spokesperson for the park. Natalie, what should the public, how should they approach this? Will there be parking issues?
There will be parking issues. We're having a very huge and very fun biodiversity festival happening 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. both days, Friday and Saturday, on the west side at our Tucson Mountain District, Red Hills Visitor Center. And parking will be at Old Tucson Studios due to the logistical nature of the event. So everything's free. Just got to drive yourself and your family over to Old Tucson, and we will shuttle you back and forth.
Andy, I want to talk a little bit about the park itself. It was first established as a national monument in 1933. You know, sometimes when we have beautiful things in our own backyard, I can't tell you how many people, and I know both you and Natalie probably experienced this. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. They've lived in Arizona all their life, and some people have never been out to Saguaro National Park. Tell us a little bit about the park itself.
The park itself, it's one of the things that I love the most about Saguaro National Park is we do have two districts. Often you'll hear folks refer to National Park East and National Park West. Really, it's one park. We have the Rincon Mountain District on the east side, and we have the Tucson Mountain District on the west side. So it's literally one park with two districts embracing the town of Tucson, and we are Tucson's backyard. So it's an amazing place. The Rincon Mountain District goes all the way up to the tops and the backside of the Rincon. So as you drive east in town, everything you see on the horizon is Saguaro National Park.
This park really, as I say, it started as a monument. It became a park officially when? A few years ago?
1996, right?
No, 1994 by President Bill Clinton.
Right.
And the park was designated as such because of, I suppose, the incredible variety of the saguaros, the density of the saguaros.
That's exactly
Maybe
right.
Maybe not the variety would be the right word, probably the density.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Can people still get involved, Natalie, in this BioBlitz this weekend?
Well, definitely coming to the Biodiversity Festival. They can come and check out our science booths. We're going to have 50 exhibits and vendors with organizations like Sky and the Alliance and Sierra Club, or Tucson Trails Tribute is going to be having a booth. They can come and watch the science, the scientists in our huge science tent that we're having. They can watch live data being come in and from the field. But to actually go out into the field, we're already closed. We've had an overwhelming response, not just with school kids, but the public response. So we're very excited.
How is the park doing, Andy Fisher? Is the horrible cold that we had last first week in February, it did take its toll, did it not, on some of the saguaros?
We do see some mortality from the really cold weather that we had over the winter. One of the projects that's going to be going on, and one of the big draws for school kids as part of this project, is going back out into the park to an area that we survey every single year. So part of the work we're doing is actually going to give us some more information about just what the mortality is out there. So there is some, but the good news is we still see a lot that are doing well and a lot that have recovered.
And with saguaros, you wouldn't necessarily see the damage right away, is
No,
that
definitely not right away, but most of the ones that we've seen damage in, we would have seen it by now for sure.
The BioBlitz 2011, it's coming this weekend. And you mentioned that Tucson was chosen and Saguaro National Park was chosen this year. What were some of the previous parks that were chosen?
The very first one was held outside of Washington, D.C. in Rock Creek Park. So that was the first one that they did. It went really, really well. The next one they went out to is Santa Monica outside of Los Angeles. From there, they decided to do one up in the Midwest. So they were out at Indiana Sand Dunes outside of Chicago. Last year, they were at Biscayne National Park, which is a marine park just outside of Miami. So we are number 5 in a series of 10. And one of the things that I love is if you look at the other cities that the BioBlitz have visited, we've got Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, and Tucson's right up there. And I think it's a perfect fit.
When they came to you and they were considering your park, what kind of a pitch did you make to them? Did you have to do a full presentation?
No, they actually chose us. They came to us and said, this is what we're looking for, and you guys have it. We want a park that is near an urban community with a really strong science ties. We want a park that has really good education programming already established, which we did. And we wanted a park that was in the desert that had biodiversity. I don't think they realized just how much biodiversity Saguaro National Park has. As you travel up the East District, you go all the way up to over 8,000 feet. And anybody who's been up to the top of Mount Lemmon or been lucky enough to get to the top of the Rincon Mountains, you know that up there, it's not a stand of saguaro cactus. We're into mixed conifer forest, and lots of species are found up there that we wouldn't find down here.
You know, Natalie Luna, did we mention that this is free? I think that's important.
Yes, free, yes, free.
Free event.
It's going to be lovely this weekend, not as hot, and perfect time to bring your family out. If you've always wanted to bring out your children so they can come and experience the desert, this is a perfect opportunity. And again,
so there'll be no admission this weekend to the park?
No.
Well, the park is open, so okay. You can still come out to the east side if you wanted to go hiking with your family. Absolutely.
For the east side, but for the west side.
You will also be welcome to come out and go for a hike if you want to. Just be aware it's going to be very, very busy, and we would encourage you to jump on one of those shuttles at Old Tucson Studios to come see the base camp and kind of check out the action there as well.
Again, the Saguaro National Park will be hosting a biodiversity festival. There'll be exhibit booths, speakers. What will the range of speakers, what will they be talking about, Natalie?
Anything from invertebrates and diversity in the park to we've got some deer dancers from the Yaqui Nation. We're going to have flute players. We have a Gila monster presentation that I saw on our list. So it runs the gamut, and anything you can think of concerning this park.
Well, it sounds like
it will
be a huge event for families, demonstrations with music, art, food, entertainment. The Red Hills Visitor Center, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on October 21st, and that is Saturday and Sunday. Or Friday and
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
And it's actually from 9 to 4.
9 to 4. Okay.
Yes.
And how does someone get to the Red Hills Visitor Center?
There's two ways. There's a couple of ways. Go through Gates Pass. And as you're driving over to Old Tucson,
signage as well.
Oh, yes.
We're
going to
have
plenty.
Okay, great. Because folks may want to visit Tucson, make a special trip just for this event. Thank you very much for being with us. Andy Fisher, ranger at Saguaro National Park, and Natalie Luna, spokesperson for Saguaro National Park. Good luck with the event this
weekend.
Thank
you very much.
Thanks a lot. 12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We will be right back with Margaret Regan, the Buckmaster Show arts contributor. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret Regan is the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and we are very happy that she has joined the Buckmaster Show contributors list, so she'll be covering arts for us here at least once a month on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Glad to be here.
You were here last month, and we couldn't get through all the events that were going on.
And I fear we'll have the same problem today, Bill. There's always so much to tell you about.
Especially this time of year in October. And let's begin with the, for want of a better word, I guess it's kind of the umbrella for all the Tucson rock and roll festivities.
Right. Well, they've been ongoing, you know, for the last month. We have a rock and roll show at Etherton's continuing. We have a little rock and roll show of Calexico photos at Sacred Machine downtown. But the big event this weekend is TMA, Tucson Museum of Art, is opening up the great big show, Who Shot Rock and Roll? Which I have to say is one of the best titles I've heard for a exhibition.
Our friend Julie Sassy, was she responsible for bringing that show in?
Yeah, she brought it in along with Robert Knight.
Be with us. We're delighted to have Robert Knight with us on Thursday on the Buckmaster Show.
Uh-huh, yeah. They brought in this show. I think it was curated at the Brooklyn Museum in New York by Gail Buckland. And it's a traveling show now, so we nabbed it. It's going to be in Tucson for some months. But the big dramatic opening is Saturday night. There are going to be hundreds of photographs. And there's also going to be a party, an art party, in conjunction with the opening called Party Like a Rock Star, with music and dance from New Articulations.
Shall we dress like a rock star for
you
that?
You should. You should dress like Mick Jagger. Or perhaps a more current rock and roll star. But yes, people are invited to come in costume, which is appropriate for October anyway.
Yes.
And then Saturday afternoon, before this big opening at the museum, the curator, Gail Buckland, is going to be speaking at the Center for Creative Photography, along with Lynn Goldsmith, who's distinguished by being the first, I believe, female photographer for Rolling Stone magazine.
Wow.
And she'll be speaking, and her show is also at Etherton, so there's a lot of cross-fertilization with this big event.
I know you're a big supporter of something called the Big Read. We touched on it a little bit last month, focusing on the work of Emily Dickinson.
That
continues this weekend, too.
It does continue. It's such an interesting event. You know, we're looking at the work of this 19th century poet. And I went to a wonderful lecture about her by Charles Alexander at the Poetry Center, and I just learned so much about really what a radical modernist she was and remains today in the world of poetry. But this week we're going to be seeing how her work influences visual artists. There's an art professor at the U of A who's been inspired by Emily Dickinson for a long time, Barbara Penn, and she's going to be giving a lecture on, Friday night. Yeah, Friday night at MoCA, about how
Museum
Emily Dickinson...
Museum of Contemporary Art in downtown Tucson.
Right, and how... You know, it's interesting. It's not that her work translates the words of Emily Dickinson, but it's inspired her work into visual imagery. So that's, I think, a wonderful transformation. And then Saturday afternoon, also at MoCA, a visiting German art critic and poet... We'll also be talking about the impact of Emily Dickinson on contemporary artists, including Joseph Cornell, who's not so contemporary anymore, but a 20th century sort of diorama box maker.
And for those that are not familiar with MoCA, who may be in town and would like to check it out, it is in downtown Tucson.
Yeah, you know, it's in the old firehouse.
That's right.
And it's a wonderful renovation. It's this great building, and they put the artwork in the bays where the fire trucks used to be.
Cool.
And it's this great space for contemporary art. It has all the windows up front, the garage doors, with gorgeous views of the mountains and of the rest of downtown Tucson. So it's really appropriate for contemporary art.
You write about one of your favorite topics, dance, in the weekly that will be hitting the newsstands on Thursday, the online edition available usually on Wednesday night, tomorrow
night.
Yeah,
that's right. Uh-huh.
Tell me about the piece you've got in this week's
weekly.
Yeah,
well, as you know, dance is kind of my special, my pet art form.
It's your thing.
I love dance, and, sometimes it doesn't get the attention it deserves. Three things happening this weekend in dance. Friday night sounds like a really interesting show at Centennial Hall, part of the UA Presents series. It's called Water is Rising, and it's a traveling show of South Pacific Islanders, dancers, and musicians, organized by a sort of international cultural professor at UCLA. And they will be dancing traditional movements of the South Pacific, of course, which I know nothing about.
I know a little bit about it, having traveled through that region.
Oh, really?
The dancers from the Fiji Islands, the Cook Islands, and of course Tahiti, French Polynesia. Fantastic dance. If these are the folks that are going to be featured at Centennial Hall on Friday night, I would highly recommend it.
Well, what's really interesting about it is conceived as a show to show us about the potential cultural losses of global warming. If the ice caps continue to melt, we have all been hearing about the environmental damage and how, low-lying islands like these ones in the South Pacific will be overrun and pretty much have to be abandoned. So you lose not only the environmental landscape, but you lose those cultures. So this is an interesting way of looking at global warming to see what are the potential cultural losses of dramatic climate change.
That's at Centennial Hall on Friday night. That sounds great. And then also you've got a couple of other dance events.
Yeah, that's right. The local troupe Artifact Dance Project is dancing. I think they're Saturday and Sunday. They're dancing in a Giancarlo Menotti opera with the Arizona Chamber Singers from the U of A also. And it'll be very interesting. It's kind of a fairy tale called The Unicorn and some other fantastical creatures. And they believe it's the first time this opera has been performed in its entirety in Tucson with dance and voice.
And that's Artifact?
Artifact Dance Company.
And the third
dance project.
The
and the third
dance
is kind of a biggie,
Palabolas.
A very well-known modern dance troupe that comes to us from Connecticut. They're regular visitors to Tucson every 4 years or so, and their specialty is making the most astonishing partnerings of the human body that you see the visual images in the photographs before you go to the show, and you just can't believe that human bodies could do those things. So they're kind of a crowd favorite, and that should be fun. That's Sunday night at 6:30 early.
Margaret Regan is with us, the arts editor for the Tucson Weekly and the Buckmaster Show contributor, coming in once a month. I think we may have you come in a little bit more than once a month because there is so much going on.
So much to report on.
And the Obsidian Gallery, you wrote about very recently in the Weekly, in the Conrad Wild Gallery. These are kind of bookending downtown.
Yeah, that's right. It's exciting. Obsidian Gallery has moved downtown into the old train depot.
They were up at St. Philip's Plaza?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were. But they were finding, they were the only contemporary art gallery left in that particular plaza. They'd been there for many, many years under two different sets of owners. And they were starting to feel that things were going so well downtown that they wanted to be part of the action. So they got this great space at the north end of that train depot, the opposite of where Maynard's restaurant is. And it's gorgeous. It's, nice gray concrete floors, white walls, with views, again, towards the train tracks and the mountains. So it makes a very nice space for contemporary art. They specialize in crafts, primarily fine crafts, ceramics. And so on.
And the Conrad Wild Gallery?
Yeah, now they're over there on 6th Street at 6th and 6th, and they always do wonderfully crafted work. It's very, very contemporary work, but it's always very finely done in terms of the skill and the craftsmanship of the artists. They've got a show of four women there right now that's really very interesting, using fiber that looks like paint.
Wow.
And paint that looks like fiber. And photographs printed onto fiber very delicate and very moving work.
That's at the Conrad Wild Gallery. So to quickly recap here, we've got several dance events. Friday night it begins at Centennial Hall. Then we have the big read continuing, the focus on Emily Dickinson. Several venues for that. And then Tucson Rocks, the big attraction will be the Tucson Museum of Art, their big opening on Saturday. We will learn more about that with the director of TMA, Robert Knight. He'll go into some more detail about that particular show. So there's no shortage of any arts-related activities.
No, and just let me quick mention, Jim Griffith, our old friend, is debuting his new book Friday night at Antigone Books.
Oh, boy,
I'm glad. A Border Runs Through It.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you mentioned that for our good friend, Big Jim. Margaret Regan, good to see you, and we'll see you soon, hopefully.
Yeah, great. Thanks Bill.
A lot. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the quickest hour, fastest hour in radio. I'll tell you, fastest hour of my life. We're glad to be here live noon to one on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.